From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. The special use permit is about 3 years old in New Hanover County. Since its creation in 2011, it served as a gatekeeper, giving local officials the final say over whether an industry can set up shop within the county. But the county recently paid nearly $100,000 for an economic development study entitled Pathways to Prosperity, New Hanover County's Plan for Jobs and Investment, also known as the Garner Report. The study concludes that the SUP is a major deterrent to potential investment. Not long ago, planning board officials worked on a text amendment to the permit. After months of negotiations among business leaders and environmentalists, the board recommended a new version to the Board of Commissioners in June. The vote ended in a tie, meaning no action would be taken, and the existing SUP remained in place. On today's Coastline, we'll explore what the role of the SUP should be in the county, whether it is, in fact, putting the kibosh on economic development, and what options exist to bridge the gap between those who want to keep the SUP in place and those who don't. To help us sort through some of these questions, we'll have an environmental advocate and a leader from the business community joining us in the studio later in the show. But first, we'll begin with the man who chairs the New Hanover County Planning Board and who recently authored the proposed amended SUP. Ted Shipley, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm very glad to be here.
What are the biggest problems, in your view, with the current special use permitting process? Is there really a need at this point for an amendment to this ordinance?
I believe there is. And this goes back to basically a year after the SUP was passed. Staff, meaning the planning staff, was tasked with coming up with some tweaks based on recommendations from consultants and business leaders in order to make the ordinance more clear. Because when it comes to the law, what we seek is clarity, no matter how you fall on either side of the issue. And that's really what's lacking at this point. What you have to do when you're looking at the ordinance is say, if I was an outside company wanting to build a cell tower, put a daycare into a residential area, put a chemical plant into the heavy industrial area, anything that has to do with an outsider looking at our laws, you want to be able to, at least you hope, that they can decipher it and say, okay, I can set up shop in 180 days and I can start producing widgets in 270 days based on how I read this ordinance. Right now, that clarity is not there.
Is there really a need for the special use permit in the first place, or is it just a deterrent to business?
I'm not someone who can speak as to whether or not there's a need going forward because I'm sort of outside of the political realm. The county commissioners have said that there is a need for a special use permit because they passed it in 2011. So what we've done is address the need to revise the current ordinance, but not delete it from the table of ordinances.
So what then should the role of the SUP be?
Well, first and foremost, I go back to clarity so that someone who is coming in and wanting to set up a business can decipher that and know exactly what the timing will be, what they have to include in their application, and whether or not their use is or isn't permitted by right in a particularly zoned area. So that's really the role in terms of the text itself. I think some people would probably tell you that the role of the SUP is for a community to decide whether or not a business is going to even be allowed in that community. I don't agree with that personally, simply because there's another mechanism in our general statutes to address this, and that's a moratorium. And if you did not want a particular industry in your area, there's already a system set up by which you could ban it for a certain number of years from the community. What they're doing now with the special use permitting process is hurting all industry, be it a bakery or be it a chemical plant.
Are there other communities in North Carolina that you know of that have that kind of mechanism, a moratorium in place on certain businesses?
Not that I know of at this point. I know that some communities have tried, and I think eventually they expired. I can go back and look at that. I'm sure that some of the other coastal communities have done this in the past. Maybe some of the city governments have done it where it's banned within the city but not in the county. It's been done before, but I can't cite to a specific one right now.
Is that a tricky thing for a municipality to put in place?
No, it's really not. It's based on statute, and I think it's actually a higher threshold in terms of the number of votes that are required to do this. So
that would have to go to a public vote.
It would. The elected officials would have to actually ban that particular use, or delete it from the table for permitted uses, which was part of the revisions that we had, not to delete it, but to come up with a full table that would allow anyone who's on the other end of this, an applicant, let's just call them, to know whether or not in that particularly zoned area, whether or not their use is already permitted by right or whether it requires a special use permit.
Since its inception in 2011, has a company ever gone through the special use permitting process and been rejected at the end of it? Has the SUP ever stopped a company from locating here?
I think that in terms of high-profile cases, like the ones that people often cite to, I'm not aware of one. However, there are many times when a special use permit is brought before our planning board, and we have rejected it under not only the special use permitting process, but their failure to actually address certain items in the application. For instance, there was a sand mine that was scheduled to be brought up for a special use permit, and we felt that in their application as board, they had not supplied us with the adequate information regarding wells and potential contaminants on a nearby property.
And this was the sand mine that was proposed for Castle Hayne.
That's exactly right. And so what we said is, we're not rejecting your special use permit. If you're going to come before us again, we need to have X, Y, and Z in your application. And that has been done many times, where a special use permit has been either no action was taken or something was rejected, but somebody comes back later with the adequate information.
We have a question from a listener here. And by the way, if you'd like to email a question, you can do that by writing to coastline@whqr.org. And this listener says, how long does an industry have to wait for a decision if they're considering locating here?
Well, see, that's one of the problems with the current ordinance, is there is no time frame by which an applicant must be heard by the planning board. The fix that I authored was that even if something has been bottled up with staff for a certain number of days and it has gone on, the applicant believes they've supplied all the information through their application, they have a right to be heard within 60 days. And then it would go before the planning board, and the planning board would hear the staff, and the staff would say, well, we've been looking for this, and they haven't given it to us. And we would probably look at the applicant and say, why haven't you given them your air permit? Why haven't you addressed traffic?
This was a bone of contention, though, during the negotiation process for this text amendment, wasn't it? There were some people who were resistant to the notion of guaranteeing an appearance before the planning board.
That's exactly right. I, however, am of the mindset that, and this is not only just me, but in North Carolina law, that every applicant, if they want to use their land or the land they hope to purchase, they have a right to due process and a right to be heard. And that's really what's part of this entire that's really what's part of this issue within the SUP is, can the folks in the staff, not that the staff would do that, keep an application for an extended period of time due to political pressure or something, while the applicant really wants to get out there and have this in front of the planning board so that it can have its own public hearing, because this is a quasi-judicial proceeding. This isn't just something where we get in a room, we just kind of, a smoke-filled room, and we decide something. This is actually somebody's right to be heard.
And when you say quasi-judicial, we've heard that term bandied about before. Can you tell us what that means?
Sure. You think of a judicial process, you think of something in front of a judge. This is quasi-judicial in that something is being decided by a body politic, but at the same time, there's evidence that's being presented by the applicant, by the opposition. It's being recorded. And that evidence being collected if one side or the other wishes to take this or appeal it to the next level. So there is a certain courtroom aspect to this that is what's why we call it quasi-judicial.
So it holds it to higher, less subjective standards.
That's exactly right. There's some structure to this process. There's some method to this madness. That's what I'm saying.
We recently heard about Vertex, the rail car company that just announced plans to invest $60 million in the region, create 1,300 new jobs. Will they have to go through the special use permitting process?
You know, that's going to be a city issue going forward. When I heard Vertex and I heard industrial use, I thought, well, this could be something that comes before our board. But my understanding is that that facility will be in the city. But if it was in the county, yes, unless if you look at the table of permitted uses, you look at the uses as they stand now, and that was not permitted by right, they would apply for an SUP in the county, and we would have to go through the application process.
That's interesting. So if an industry is located within the city limits, then they automatically are exempted from the special use permit process.
That's right. So we handle things that are outside of the city of Wilmington. And in this instance, and the reason why this came up is because of a potential applicant coming into the county on the other side of the river and using the industrial area for a cement plant. And that's the reason why it's been concentrated on our board rather than the city.
We have just a minute or so before we go to break. Is the planning board going to take this up again? Will this version of the special use permit that you recently amended come before the county commission again? What's next?
It's my hope that we revisit this in 2015. This is something that needs to be done in order to make sure that applicants are fairly heard and that we fix this ordinance as it stands today.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. I'd like to thank Ted Shipley, chairman of New Hanover County's Planning Board, for joining us today. Coming up after the break, we'll hear from the two sides on the issue, the environmental position and the business community's point of view. Also after the break, we'll take your phone calls. Do you have a question for our guests? Should the special use permit be a tougher gatekeeper, 910-343-1138, or should it be repealed? You can also send emails to coastline@whqr.org. This is Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're exploring the role of the special use permit, which currently serves as a local gatekeeper of sorts, deciding which businesses can set up shop in New Hanover County. And joining me in the studio now to find out more about why this has been such a contentious issue for our region is Peter Fensel, a member of the Executive Committee of the Coalition for Economic Advancement. The Coalition is a nonprofit private advocacy organization that works with the Wilmington Chamber of Commerce and Wilmington Business Development as an advocate for existing businesses and new industries seeking to locate in the region. Peter Fensel, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rachel. Nice to be here.
Also with us today to help us understand the concerns of the environmental community is Mike Giles with the North Carolina Coastal Federation, an environmental advocacy group. Mike Giles, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel. Appreciate the opportunity to discuss this important issue for our community.
And if you have a question for our guests about the special use permit, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also send an email to coastline@whqr.org. And gentlemen, let's start with the role of the special use permit. Peter Fensel, in your view, what is the purpose of the SUP?
Well, I think the Planning Commission put the SUP together initially to try and add some process to the application process of industries moving into the area. I'm sure it was a great good faith effort. I think we all have our own views as to why it may or may not have been done at the specific time that it was been done, but the fact is that it's here and it has been adopted. I don't think that it adds the clarity that is necessary for people who are looking to site businesses in New Hanover County outside of the city of Wilmington. As Mr. Shipley said, that people need to know when they're trying to site an industry. Many times you ask them the question, how many people have been declined because of the special use permit? There, in so many instances, having worked in economic development, been the head of the Committee of 100 in the past, these industries send scouts out. And when they come to town, they look at the government, they look at the news, they look at the controversy, they look at all of that. And then they go back to these industries and they say, man, you don't want to touch this. You don't even want to get close to this. There's too much negativity going on there. So I think if we're going to have it, personally, I don't think we should have one. Maybe we can get into that a little bit later. But actually, I believe what Mr. Shipley wants to do is the right thing to do is to amend it.
Mike Giles from the North Carolina Coastal Federation. What do you see the special use permits function as?
It's a tool that I think our community leaders need. We are a small community, the smallest county in North Carolina with the highest per capita population. We have a unique situation on our coast with the water issues, with tourism, with recreation, a great retirement community. But being said, that said, the Coastal Federation, and you know, I want to catch this. This shouldn't be about environmentalists against business leaders or environmentalists against businesses. This should be the community coming together, discussing the issues, and that's why we're at the table. We feel that the SUP is a tool for our local officials to vet industry and make decisions on those, the ones we're concerned about mostly are that small 1% of heavy polluting industries that could pose significant potential external negative effects to our community. Our elected leaders need that tool.
And we are going to take a call in just a moment. And if you would like to ask our guests a question, we're talking about the role of the special use permit in New Hanover County. Give us a call at 910-343-1138. But Mike, you just alluded to the fact that this has been an extremely controversial issue. It really has raised the ire of both. It's been a very difficult negotiation. Peter Fensel, why has this been so controversial? Why has this been so difficult to talk about with the two sides of this issue?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's been difficult to talk about. And one of the great things about living in a free society is we have the opportunity to discuss this stuff like we're doing right now. And I don't really think that we are hugely apart. I actually believe, as Mike said in his opening remarks, that we're all about the same thing. I like to breathe clean air. I like to drink clean water. And I'm not trying to put somebody in this area. We are not the boogeyman. The business community is after the same thing that everybody else is, but we want to have jobs and economic opportunity. And I'm not for closing the door on anybody. I want anybody and everybody who thinks they want to come to this area to come here and take a look. We, on the Committee of 100 of Wilmington Business Development, we've got pretty much every spectrum of representation that can be. Those people are smart enough to know what we want here and what we don't want here. And if it happens to get past them, our city and county leaders and the planning board is another level where it won't get by. So I think we've got enough checks and balances to take care of that sort of thing.
I want to go ahead and take this call. We have Betty from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you very much, Rachel, and good afternoon, gentlemen. I have 25 years of experience as an environmental specialist with industry. I worked with a Fortune 100 company. I got all the permits for the corporation through my environmental group. I can tell you right now that special use permits were viewed as an opportunity to let the public know where we wanted to go and what we wanted to do. We wanted to work with the community from day one, and for that reason, the special use permit frequently with the opportunity to have a community meeting was de rigueur. It was the way we did things. Special use permits for heavy industry are all over the United States and North Carolina. Any industry that wants to come to New Hanover County that requires anonymity for their process should not be welcome and should not be viewed as a good neighbor for New Hanover County. The people of New Hanover County deserve to know what's going on in the air, water, and soil. Also, one last thing. This was the first time with a special use permit that heavy industrial zoning had been updated since the 60s.
Right. Thank you so much for your call, Betty. Peter Fensel, what do you say to her assertion that when a company is thinking about coming here, if there are going to be environmental implications of one kind or another, it should be part of the public discussion?
I don't disagree with that. And first of all, I would like to say that when during the economic development process, there's this perception that we're trying to hide and keep secret what's going on in the back room. We may not discuss who the particular applicant might be because of their request, not of our request, but we have agencies to take care of the environmental oversight. We have state and federal agencies. I can give you acronyms that would sink a ship of all of the review processes that these people have to go through. And very similarly would be the Titan issue. If Titan cannot pass all of the regulatory issues that are required of them, then they can't come here. I mean, we already have that in place.
Mike Giles, he raises an interesting point. Why aren't business leaders, community leaders, smart enough to determine whether or not a business is going to be good for the community?
Well, when we're talking about some of these large industries that are very complicated, have a lot of issues, you know, that takes fact and science. You know, I agree with what Peter says. There are state and federal agencies. But one particular thing in North Carolina, there's no permit for groundwater withdrawals. And we have a critical resource that both industry and the community depends on for clean water. And that's one of the review things that the county should adopt. But I want to agree with Ted Shipley. He says the SUP is here. What he'd like to do is see it revised and improved. We totally agree with that. And what we've done, the Coastal Federation has gone out and found $25,000 from a private foundation, from the Lillian Golden Charitable Trust, and we're putting our money where our mouth is. We've reached out to the community leaders, to business leaders, and what we'd like to do, what our plan is to try and develop a model SUP that would incentivize the industries that we all say we want, that are identified in the Garner Report, then that would create a step for these heavy polluters to go through a required informational review by the county planning board and county commissioners. But we want the same thing that Peter and his group. We want good jobs. We want to protect our environment. We want to protect our public health. At the same time, we want to be able to attract industry.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the role of the special use permit in New Hanover County and its potential impact on economic growth. With us in the studio today, Peter Fensel of the Coalition for Economic Advancement and Mike Giles of the North Carolina Coastal Federation. If you have a question for our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us using CoastlineHQR. We have a question from a listener. How many jobs have not come here in the last 5 years because of the SUP process? Peter Fensel?
I'm not sure you can put a number on that because we don't know.
Right. Peter, you also said, you alluded a few minutes ago to the fact that you think we really should do away with the SUP. And in fact, that was one of the major recommendations in the Garner Report. The Garner Report said that abolishing the SUP would take away what is a major deterrent to economic growth in the county. Can you explain why the Coalition for Economic Advancement agrees with that position?
Sure. And first of all, my position is that it's not necessarily that it should be done away with, because I politically don't think that that's feasible today. I'll be honest about that. I don't think there's a political appetite to completely get rid of the SUP. I don't think this SUP should have come about in the first place. That's what I really meant when I said what I said earlier.
And you think that the SUP was a reaction to a specific company, Titan?
I don't think there's any question about it. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I mean, as Mike said, hadn't been updated in like 40 years. I think it's kind of odd that all of a sudden, as Titan is beginning to do what they're doing, all of a sudden this thing is updated. I think it's a little too coincidental. However, the fact is, and as we move on, and we need to move beyond this, is that we've got the SUP. If we're going to have this document, we need to have one that provides perfect clarity to those people who want to make application to bring sites to New Hanover County, of which there are very few of them left. There's not much left. I live and work on the Industrial Corridor, Highway 421, been there for 41 years. And I know a little bit of something about what these industries do, and I think by the fact that I'm here talking to you and I have lived underneath those smokestacks for 41 years, it's not so horrible.
You're listening to Coastline. We have an email from a listener. He says, my question is for Mr. Giles. The SUP is to prohibit or make it harder for heavy industry, such as Titan. If Titan is so bad for the environment, why are they allowed in other cities and states? Are there proven health hazards in these locations? Or is everything about the potential, and he puts that in quotes, harmful effects? Wouldn't the company be shut down if it was truly hazardous to the environment? won't Titan just move to a neighboring county without such stringent business-hindering regulations? Why would the county give up that tax revenue and job growth to Brunswick or Pender when it could benefit New Hanover? Mike Giles.
That's a mouthful. yes. Number one, Brunswick and Pender have updated their UDOs, their Unified Development Ordinances, and a company like Titan would not be allowed to locate there. The issue is how critical the mass is in New Hanover County. It's not that the SUP would prohibit a company like Titan. It would require them to go through a thorough review at the local level so that our local elected officials could have a say-so on how our community grows, how our community prospers, and what types of jobs and what types of businesses come here to melt in with and complement the comprehensive planning process that the county is undergoing right now.
So Peter Fentzel said earlier that there are state agencies in place. There are federal regulations. Titan, for example, has to get, well, it's gotten its air quality permit, I guess.
Right.
I'm not sure where that is right now.
It's in court.
Right. So it's being challenged. But they were initially issued an air quality permit from our state agency, DENR. There are other permits that Titan will have to get before they can set up shop. Why is that not enough? Why do we need a local ordinance?
Federal and state agencies look at the minimum criteria nationwide. They establish these permit limits nationwide. They don't have the time or manpower expertise to look at the local issues, the local traffic, the local issues. So this SUP, and again, what we're the Coastal Federation and others that they call environmentalists are talking about are the small 1% of heavy industrial polluters or heavy industries. I'm not even going to call them polluters, but they do pollute. The SUP was originally brought forward because the county was getting ready to undergo a designation of SO2 non-attainment, which would have stopped economic growth in our county. Through Representative Rick Catlin and the County Planning Department and Jonathan Barfield, Commissioner, they went to Washington and lobbied the EPA, the Sutton plant converted to natural gas. So that
you're talking about Duke Energy's
correct.
Sutton plant.
Now it's natural gas, so we don't have as much SO2 coming into our atmosphere, but it's still at high level, so we always have to keep an eye on it. What we want to do is sit down with people like Peter. We have the county's blessing, we have the money, and what we're going to try and do is create a model SUP that provides that clarity Ted Shipley talks about, provides that timeline, but also provides the questions and required information that our local leaders can make informed decisions about. And that's what it's all about. And when that information comes to them, if there's some red stars or red danger marks, they can go back and say, how about doing, can we do this? Or they say no. That should be a opportunity for our county to say no to some industry.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the role of the special use permit in New Hanover County and its impact on economic growth. With us in studio, Peter Fentzel of the Coalition for Economic Advancement and Mike Giles of the North Carolina Coastal Federation. If you have a question for our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138. We're also taking emails at coastline@whqr.org. Peter Fentzel, we hear so much from economic development experts about having a mix of industries for sustainable, responsible economic growth. Why is that important? Why couldn't we just, say, focus on high-tech, knowledge-based industries that aren't heavy manufacturers, aren't heavy polluters? Why do we need this mix of industries?
Well, I think you have to look back at a little history, Rachel. In 1960, we were pretty much pre-1960, we were a one-horse town. Mike might not have been born in 1960. Unfortunately, I was. And when the Atlantic Coast Line Railroad picked up and left, you could hear a vacuum created in New Hanover County in Wilmington. And visionaries like Dan Cameron and other business people got together and formed the Committee of 100. And they went out and they recruited industries like General Electric.
The Committee of 100.
Yes,
our listeners who aren't familiar with that.
I'm sorry. That tells my age. it was Committee of 100 back in the day. It's now Wilmington Business Development.
Thank you.
Just a transition of names. Anyway, They went out and recruited a lot of businesses that Hercules, that is was at on 421, which ultimately came and became Invista, that's not there anymore, DuPont, that was DAC, that provided a lot of manufacturing jobs and brought a healthy job growth back to the city of Wilmington. Because when I was getting out of school, there were, if you didn't have a family business, you weren't in banking and insurance, there was nothing for you to do. You had to go look for employment somewhere else. So it gave an opportunity for local homegrown people to come back to town and have a place to work. Now, if you look at the economies of those types of businesses, they're fairly diverse. If we lose one, we still have the others. I am completely in favor of having high-tech industries and PPD and all that. Tourism, I think we need to have a good balanced mix of everything so that if you suffer on one end, we don't suffer on all ends. We've seen what happens when you're tied to one, and I don't want that to happen to us again.
You're listening to Coastline. We're going to go to break in just a moment. If you have a question for our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138. We're talking about the role of the special use permit in New Hanover County. Mike Giles, you said you just, and I'm getting the high sign from my producer, but you're talking about this $25,000 grant that you received. When we come back from break, I want to make sure we talk specifically about what this grant is designed to do and how you plan to get buy-in from all sectors of the community.
Be happy to.
You're listening to Coastline. Again, we're talking about the role of the special use permit in the county and how and whether it needs to change. If you have a question about the SUP for our guests, give us a call, 910-343-1138, or send us an email at coastline@whqr.org. You're listening to Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. And with me in the studio once again, Mike Giles of the North Carolina Coastal Federation and Peter Fensel of the Coalition for Economic Advancement. We're talking about the special use permit and its impact on economic development. If you have a question for our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. And of course, you can tweet us at CoastlineHQR. Mike, we're going to talk about the grant that the Coastal Federation has received, but first I want to get to this email from Kelly, who says, would the rail car industry with 1,300 jobs that was just announced for Wilmington, and I think she's talking about Vertex, would that be a good example of manufacturing jobs coming our way, even with the SUP for heavy industrial projects? Peter Fensel.
Absolutely.
I agree.
And so I guess the implied point here is Vertex showed up regardless of the fact that we have an SUP in place.
Well, now that's where the rubber meets the road. You know, I think you had a situation there where they were at the right place at the right time. We had the right facility. We had the ports right next door. I mean, the place is set up to do what they want to do because Terex American Crane had been in there previous to them. So that is a rare opportunity. I'm glad that opportunity found us, but I think you could cite that as rare.
Mike, you received this $25,000 grant. You've told us a little bit about it, but this is, as you've said, to create a model special use permit that different sectors of the community could have input on and that would get buy-in from everyone.
Connie Majorette wrote a great op-ed. It was in the Wilmington Business Journal right after the 2-2 tie and said, let's quit this. Let's quit arguing. We agree with her. We went out and searched for money. We knew it was going to cost some money. We thought the best way to move forward and talk about the clarity and time frame and the requirements that we'd like to see in the SUP for the heavy industry should be part of that process, and it was going to cost money to do it. And what we thought the best way to do is to hire an independent planning professional, has no skin in the game, is not a Wilmington resident, and then come up with a group of stakeholders, a project team so to speak, and sit down and craft a model SUP. And what we've hired a planning consultant. What he's done is we have given the information. That's the way the Coastal Federation operates. We don't try and favor the argument or the process either side. Given the information, he's got the current SUP. He's gotten the information on the proposals on the text amendments, and he has made a critique of our current SUP, and we have given that to the county.
And are you going to get buy-in from the business community?
We have leaders in the business community on this project team. We have reached out to the Chamber of Commerce. I believe they're going to come on board. We certainly hope so, because they're important. We welcome anyone on this committee. We don't want it so big that it's cumbersome, but we want people that represent a smart look down the road on what we want to do, what we want to be as a community, what kind of industry we want. And I think Vertex is a great example. This is a great manufacturing company that comes here with a wide range of salaries and job opportunities, and 1,300 jobs is a lot of jobs. And what we want to do is, what this consultant is recommending is creating a three-tiered model SUP. We went to the county manager, sat down with him. He is...
So you've already talked with county staff about this process.
We have. The county planning department is going to be part of the process. We're going to sort of sit on the sidelines and let the project team do its work with the planning staff and with this consultant and come up. We're going to have our first meeting sometime in the middle of December, hopefully have a second meeting sometime in January, and have a model SUP to take to the county manager and let him make a judgment on whether it's something we want to move forward. And we hope this will stop the infighting, stop the argument, and bring the community together and come up with a solution for how we want to recruit industry in our community.
Peter Fensel, is this something that you've heard about before, this process?
I have heard about it on the fringe. I have not heard about it directly.
Is this something you think that the business community would buy into and participate in?
I guess possibly so, Rachel, but my answer to Mike would be, we've already got an SUP in place. We've already got amendments for the SUP. I think if we could come to some agreement about the amendments on the SUP, we can go ahead and move forward. I see no reason to reinvent the wheel. I'm not against what they're trying to do. I think we're all, as I said at the beginning, we're all about the same effort. We're all trying to create jobs and have a good environment for us to all live and work in. But, I mean, I think we've already got a document. We've already got amendments. I think we could move forward from there and get on with life.
Were you happy with the version of the SUP that went before the Board of Commissioners in June of this year and then wound up going nowhere because the vote turned out to be a tie, so no action could be taken?
You mean the SUP with the Shipley amendments?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
And what was it about those amendments that work for you from the business community standpoint?
Clarity.
Clarity on...
Well, the timelines, and it takes a lot of the politics out of this, and I think we need to be mindful of that. We don't need to have politics at play in this, and I think Ted pointed that out, that he's not saying that anybody necessarily would play the political card, but there's no reason. You need to make sure that they don't have the opportunity to do that. And so, the timeline does a lot of that. If somebody's holding it over here for any particular reason, not to say that they would.
But right now, there is the ability to do that.
That's correct. That's right. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the role of the special use permit in New Hanover County, its impact on economic growth, and where we need to go from here. With us in studio today, Peter Fensel of the Coalition for Economic Advancement and Mike Giles of the North Carolina Coastal Federation. If you have a question for our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138, or you can send an email to coastline@whqr.org. And we have an email here from Kane. She says, I believe the main purpose of the SUP is to allow local government and the local community to have a say in the types of businesses that are a good fit for our area. Without a special use permit, there's no opportunity for local elected officials or citizens, those most affected by what moves into their neighborhoods, to have a voice in the process. This has resulted in New Hanover County, the second smallest and most densely populated county in the state, to have the highest toxic emissions in the state, according to the EPA's releases of over 100 different pollutants, at least 14 impaired waterways. She cites a lot of
of potential environmental issues here. Peter Fensel, what do you say to someone like that who, I believe she's a resident of Castle Hayne, and she's looking at this from the point of view of a concerned citizen who lives close to some of these industrial sites?
I'm as concerned as she is. I live, as I said, every day on Highway 421. I live underneath the stacks of what is now Duke Progress Energy. I lived right next door to where the incinerator was, right down the street from where Invista is. There's plenty of that stuff that goes on across the street from what used to be fertilizer plants that are not there anymore. And I think that can all be regulated so that it is whatever discharge is sent out. There are scrubbers for air if they don't meet air quality. There are ways to treat whatever the effluent is so that when it's put back into the waterways, that it meets federal and state standards. So I think a lot of that stuff is already in place. I share her concern, but I also think that we have done this. We have done this for a lot of years, and this still is a great place to live. Look at the population explosion in New Hanover County since 1990 and I-40 arrived. They're not running from us. If this is such an awful place, why are they still coming?
Do you think, Peter Fensel, from the Coalition for Economic Advancement, that there have been some environmental concerns in the area that have perhaps been overblown? Are there specific examples that you look back on where a company or an industry was accused of something and then it turned out to be not really a concern?
Well, I remember, and this has been a lot of years ago, when then Federal Paper was here and they were questioned about the discharge that they were putting into the Cape Fear River. And they had a meeting with the people from the EPA and Diener and that sort of stuff. And I spoke on that issue. And what we actually found out were two things. One is that we had an interbasin transfer going on between the Cape Fear River and I think it was Jordan Lake. Mike might know better than I where that water was being transferred, 10 million gallons a day. And when you take that much water out of a river, of course there's going to be some impact on that. But when we got to the dissolved oxygen part of it, we found out, and the EPA, when I say we, the EPA and Diener found out, that most of that problem came from the Black River, from the rot of all of the aged stuff in the Black River, the tannins that come from all of that sort of stuff. That's where the oxygen was being, most of it was being dissolved. So I think you can, this is part of what I'm saying. You really have got to parse it and you've got to look at it and find out what is the true facts about it all. And that's why we have these agencies. So we can get in and explore it. And if they find out that these people are not doing the right thing, then they have to correct the process. But if they're doing the right thing, then they should be allowed to do it.
So again, Mike Giles, we've sort of come to this point before, but I think it's a good point to clarify. Why then does the environmental community feel that we need to have another layer of oversight for these kinds of issues?
Because the issues are so important to our future. And let me correct you. I don't think it's just the environmental community. We have hundreds upon thousands of citizens, doctor, medical professionals, business leaders, community leaders that share our concern. This isn't, if it's done correctly, it's not an onerous process. And we agree with the Coalition for Economic Advancement, with the chamber, that the SUP needs to be improved. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to do it in an open, transparent way, non-political, apolitical. And as Kane said, you know, without it, think about there wasn't a Sutton power plant here and Duke Power or any coal-burning power plant wanted to come in and build one. There was no regulation on coal ash, and we're sitting on a time bomb on the Cape Fear River. This is an issue that's been known for over 20 years, and nothing has been done about it. There's more toxic underground toxic storage areas and hazardous areas around Castle Hayne and Regalwood and Navassa than anywhere in the state because we allowed that. Our community, our state, our federal government allowed that. We have been told, we keep going back to Titan, we've been told by regulatory agencies, get your own experts. We don't have the time, we don't have the money, and we don't have the expertise to fully evaluate a complicated industry like this. This is one of the heaviest polluters there are, and they're heavily regulated. We have no permit for groundwater withdrawal. Groundwater in this area is in a critical state. The Castlehaine Aquifer is now no longer used by the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority for drinking water because the issues surrounding the Castlehaine Aquifer. More withdrawals, millions of gallons a day from our aquifer is going to affect our local economy. It's going to affect our health. It's going to affect where we get our drinking water.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the role of the special use permit in New Hanover County. And we have an email from Jess. She says, or he, I'm sorry, I don't know, to Peter Fensel, as a physician, you are incorrect, and she's saying she's a physician, that we can treat or control the pollution that would come from Titan cement. They will raise the level of toxins that are associated with lung cancer and other serious diseases. Titan cement has told us this will happen. We do not need to bring industry here that will poison our air and water for a couple dozen jobs. She raises an interesting point about the jobs. It seems like whenever Titan comes up, it's always, here's the potential environmental impact, the potential public health impact for 60 jobs, 75?
If you will read back what she said, and she says that I am incorrect, what did she say?
She said that we can treat or control the pollution that would come from Titan cement.
And?
They will raise the level of toxins that are associated with lung cancer and other serious diseases.
Okay. When you crank your car up every day, what are we going to say about the emissions that come out of that? I mean, we have, and I go back to this point, and I keep going back to it, yes, they will put some pollutants into the air and some into the water. That's why we have the agencies that have the purview over regulating this kind of stuff. And, I mean, Titan is in Roanoke, Virginia. They are in Miami. They are in outside of Virginia Beach. All of those communities are surviving quite nicely. Most of them don't even know that they're there. There are farms around the one in Roanoke, Virginia, if you go up and visit that. So,
I think we've had some reporters go to Roanoke and come back and not been able to. The communities do seem to be pretty at peace with Titan as a neighbor.
They do.
In Roanoke.
That's apples and oranges.
Okay. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the role of the special use permit in New Hanover County, its impact on economic growth. We are getting close to the end of the show, gentlemen, and I want to make sure that we get some final thoughts from you. Mike Giles from the North Carolina Coastal Federation, where do we go from here? What would you like to see happen?
Well, number one, I really didn't want this conversation to be about Titan. This is about the future of the New Hanover and our Cape Fear region. What I hope the conversation and the process goes forward is we've reached out. We put our money where our mouth is. We have the funding. We have people interested in sitting down and talking about improving the special. We have a special use permit process. We agree it needs to be improved. What it is a tool for our local elected officials and planning board to make appropriate, informed decisions about where our growth goes, how we target our growth. We have a $100,000 report that the Garner Report, the city and county put together. It creates a vision, a future for our community, and we want to own this. There are different manufacturing companies, industries that we welcome here.
So we'll look forward to seeing then this negotiation process as you bring the players to the table and create this model SUP with the grant. Peter Fensel, final thoughts.
I think I'm celebrating my 60th year in Wilmington. I've seen a lot of transition come through here. I've enjoyed being a part of it, participated in everything from economic development to nonprofit. I think we're all smart enough to know what we want here. I know the processes are already in place to have that done, and I think we should move forward with that the way it is.
That's this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank our guests, Ted Shipley of the New Hanover County Planning Board, Mike Giles of the North Carolina Coastal Federation, and Peter Fensel of the Coalition for Economic Advancement. Thanks to you, our listeners, and those of you who called in and emailed your comments. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.